Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
A few weeks ago, I asked you all, or many of you all, to consider a question, and that question was, why are you here? And why are you here? And I gave you a little more specific instruction on that, and that was, why do you exist? Why are you here at all? Why were you created? And we thought about that question a couple weeks ago. We're not going to explore that side of it today, but I want to ask the same question with a little more narrow focus, and that is, why are you here in this building right now? Why did you come here tonight? Why are you here? Now I want you to think about that, put that away, and we'll look at the readings for a moment. St. Paul speaks to us of this salvation that Jesus has for us, that we are trying to acquire, if you will. And so I'm going to ask you another question, and that is, I want you to think about this question, have you been saved? You've all heard that question, I'm sure. Maybe you've been asked that question. Maybe you've asked somebody else that question. Have you been saved? And I can imagine someone asking me, have you been saved? And my answer would be, yes. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me. He took my sins upon himself and nailed them to the cross. Though he had no sin himself, he became sin for me and died for my sins. Though he did not break the law, no, he did not leave the covenant, no, he didn't leave the family of God, he took all of this punishment on himself for me. Yes, I have been saved. But you know what? Jesus didn't just die for me. He died for the whole world. He died for everybody. He saved us all. Maybe a better question would be, do you live your salvation? Do you live your salvation? Now we move into the gospel. And the gospel is a story about 10 lepers. And I remember giving a homily on this gospel in an elementary school. And sometimes I ask the children questions. And one of the children was very interested in what happened to the 10 leopards, okay? It's not 10 leopards. It's 10 lepers, okay? What is a leper? A leper is someone that has a dreaded skin disease, this bacterial infection that decays their skin and deforms their body. It's terminal. You're going to die of leprosy when you get leprosy. And it's contagious. It can be communicated to other people. In the Bible, there are two entire chapters of the book of Leviticus dedicated to how to deal with people that have leprosy. And what was supposed to happen to a person that had leprosy was they were literally separated from the community. They could no longer live in town. They had to live out of town, out by themselves. And if anybody got close to them, they had to yell out in a loud voice, unclean, unclean. And that was a code way of telling people, I have leprosy, don't come near me. And so leprosy was seen as a kind of living death. You were alive, but you were dying, and you were an instrument of death to other people. And so Jesus is walking through Samaria and other places on his way to Jerusalem again, as we've talked about, and he comes along these 10 lepers, and they yell out from a distance, Jesus, have pity on us. And the gospel story unfolds that Jesus gave them a command. Now, if we went back to the book of Leviticus and read more, we would see that when a person was diagnosed with this skin disease or any skin disease, they would be put away outside of the camp. But let's just say they started to get better. They went into remission or it wasn't so serious. They would have to be inspected before they could go back into the society, before they could go to the temple, before they could worship God. They would have to be inspected. And who would inspect them? The priest would inspect them. So Jesus hears these 10 people call to him, and then he gives them a command. And what was the command he gave them? Go show yourself to the priest. Who needs to show themselves to the priest? Someone that's been what? Healed, right? So they obey his command, and that's an act of what? An act of faith. They have faith in what he says. Go show yourself to the priest. And off they go. And on their way, what happens? They realize we're healed. Our skin is cleared up. And then one of them goes back and thanks Jesus. He doesn't just thank Jesus. He gives glory to God. He falls on his knees and he thanks Jesus. And Jesus asks him a question. 10 were healed. Were they not? Where are the other 9? Has only this foreigner, and we learn later he's a Samaritan, and presumably the other 9 were Jews, were Israelites. So this act of faith, and he comes back and he gives glory to God and he bends his knee and gives thanksgiving. Now, when was the last time you gave glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth? When was the last time you gave glory to God? I hope it was about 10 minutes ago, because that's the whole reason that we pray that prayer at the beginning of Mass, is that we're supposed to be giving a moment of giving glory to God and thanks and praise to him and Jesus and all the other stuff that's contained in the glory. It's a beautiful prayer. So we give this glory to God. Now, I'm going to back up from the gospel to the first reading for a minute. And the first reading is almost always related to the gospel. Actually, is always related to the gospel. But the first reading today from 2 Kings chapter 5 is just a short little reading. It starts about verse 14. But there's a whole lot of verses that come before that explain the story a little better and tie it to the gospel a little more clearly. So I'm going to go through some of those connections. Naaman was a Syrian general. He was a general in the army of Syria. And Naaman has invaded Israel at some time and taken captive slaves and brought some of them back to his land of Syria. In fact, he has a slave that works in his house, a little servant girl that is his wife's maid. And this little servant girl obviously has some affection for Naaman. Has some affection for her master who has captured her. Anyway, that's another story. But nonetheless, she feels sorry for him because he's a what? He's a leper. Okay? He's got this skin disease. And she says, if only my master would go to Israel, to one of the holy prophets, he could be healed. And Naaman hears this idea that he could be healed, and he's interested in it. So he goes to the king of Syria and gets a letter, kind of a diplomatic pass, if you will, and loads up a couple donkeys full of gold and silver and gifts, and off he goes to Israel with a little peace offering and this letter to meet one of these people that can heal him. And he goes first to the king, and the king receives this army general from a foreign power that had invaded them, and it's like, hey, I hear you can heal me. And what is his response? What is the king of Israel? Tears his garments and thinks he's being tricked. Thinks this is some kind of trick. Well, Elisha, the prophet, hears of this Syrian general's trip to Israel and says, "Send him to me." So Naaman goes to Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even go out and meet him. Elisha sends another messenger to go talk to Naaman and tells Naaman, gives Naaman some instructions. And the instructions are, go bathe in the Jordan River. And Naaman's response to that, his initial response was, there are better rivers in Syria. What did I come all the way here to get in a river for when we have better rivers in my hometown, my home place? And then some of his assistants, his attendants said, hey, if the holy man would have told you to do something difficult and challenging or some kind of thing, you would have done it. But this easy thing to just go get in the river and get out of the river, why don't you just give it a try? And so Naaman, kind of against his better judgment, does it anyway. And that's where tonight's reading picks up. That's where the reading that we heard just a moment ago. So Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan River 7 times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. And his flesh became like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean of leprosy. And Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God, and on his arrival he stood before Elisha and said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except for the God of Israel. Naaman has been converted. He's a foreigner, but he's been converted. There's no God in all the world except for the God of Israel. You see the connection to the gospel a little bit now. Well, Naaman goes on to say, here, Elisha, I have all this gold and silver to give you. And Elisha says, I don't want it. I got to unload my mules because I got an idea. He says, okay, you won't take my gold and silver, but I do want you to give me something. And this was in the reading. Did you hear what it was that Naaman wanted? 2 mule loads of dirt. What do you think he wanted those 2 mule loads of dirt for? 2 mule loads of the earth. The earth of the land, the holy land. If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust, this is worship, or sacrifice to any god except the Lord. So he wants to bring this dirt from the land of Israel back to his home where he can get on it and he can pray and offer his thanksgiving on that land of Israel, because he knew there was no god in all the world except the God of Israel. So, this foreigner recognizes the God of Israel. He's commanded, and he goes down into the Jordan River, and he plunges in, and he has this living death, right? This disease where he's alive, but it's a life that is unto death. And he's going to die, and he's kind of potentially going to spread this death to other people. But he gets in the Jordan. Now, who else got plunged into the Jordan River? Who do we know of that has an episode where he gets in the Jordan River and gets, yeah, say Jesus, okay? Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan River. And Jesus' baptism is a prefiguring of all of our baptisms. And how are we saved? By this plunging, this cleansing. And I ask you, have you been saved? Say, yes, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Now, do you live a life of salvation? What's a life of salvation? Now, why are you here? I ask you that question again. Let's get back to that. Why are you here? There are many reasons, perhaps, that draw you to this place tonight. And there probably aren't any bad reasons, but there are some reasons that are better than others. One of them, realizing he had been healed, realizing he had been saved, realizing that that living death, that condition that he was in, had been taken away from him. One of them, realizing that, came back and gave thanks and praise, actually fell on his knees and said glory to God and gave thanks. Now, why are we here? I'm going to read you right out of the Catechism, the teachings of the Church. The Eucharist is a sacrifice, that which we're here for, is a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Father, a blessing by which the Church, all of us, expresses her gratitude. We're referred to as the Bride of Christ. The Church expresses her gratitude to God for all of his benefits, for all that he has accomplished through creation, redemption, sanctification. Eucharist means, first of all, thanksgiving. And so we are here, like that leper, to give glory to God and thanksgiving for the gift of salvation. Where are the other nine? They're watching football, Father Mike. They're recovering from cruising the coast, Father Mike. Where are they? See, Jesus died to save everybody, but not everybody lives a life of thanksgiving. And if we don't have gratitude living in us, if we don't have a thanksgiving sense about the saving power of God, it's very difficult to come to church if you have nothing to be thankful for, if you have no reason to come here and give glory to God. Thanksgiving is a decision. We must examine our lives and come up with those things that we are thankful for. Food and shelter, clothing, faith, forgiveness, love, family, freedom. That we can see, that we can walk, that we can talk, that we can enjoy a good meal. That we have to pay taxes, right? We're thankful for that because that means we have a job, or at least we earn some money, okay? For the mess that we have to clean up after a party because that means we had friends over. For the lawn that needs mowing and the gutter that needs cleaning, because that means we have a place to live. For this whole election thing, we're grateful for that, right? Because that means we have this political freedom. For the parking lot at the far distance in the parking spot, the far distance from the parking lot, because that means I can walk. For the alarm that goes off in the morning, because that means I'm alive. Now, we all need to cultivate this sense of gratitude to God, first and foremost for salvation. But when we are thankful, we feel better. We are more optimistic. We are more energetic and we are more enthusiastic. We're more determined. We're more interested and we're more interesting. We're more joyful, we exercise more, we have fewer illnesses, we sleep better, and we're more likely to be generous and help other people. That's all flows out of a life and a spirit of gratitude in us. Now, do you realize that you are in a spiritual battle for your soul? Do you realize that? And how necessary it is for you to cling to your salvation with a spirit of gratitude and come before Almighty God at times every week on bended knee and give glory to God in thanksgiving. Go show yourself to the priest. Be thankful for the mercy of God. Were not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? You know, I know you're here, and I'm glad you're here, and I truly am glad that you are here, but if someone's not here, and you know them well, what might you say, what reason would you give for them that it would be a good idea for them to come here? How would you explain why it is that you feel compelled to come before God and give glory and thanks? That whole truth of salvation and the blood of our Lord Jesus and the necessity, it's not an option, it is an absolute necessity for a person of faith to give thanks and praise to God. I'm going to give you all a little gift tonight. It's this compact disc, a CD. I know many of you have a CD player. And there's one at every exit. There's a stack of them, I should say, at every exit. It's by a guy named Matthew Kelly. And Matthew Kelly tells a beautiful, powerful story of his own growth in faith. And maybe you can listen to it, and maybe after you listen to it, you can pass it on to somebody else as a way of trying to share your faith, because 10 were healed, but only one saw to come and give thanks. And I think about that. Where are the other 9? Take time to look at your life. Take time to thank Almighty God. Take time to share your faith. The love of God must animate. It must give spirit and life to us. Let's not live a kind of life of spiritual leprosy where we just go through dead. But let the power of our Lord Jesus cleanse, heal, and enliven us that we can give glory and thanks to God.